Chapter 5. Santa's Choice. For Pim, Christmas Day went very slowly. He could hear the clatter and chatter of elves working in the sled room, but he dare not make a sound himself. It was dark, musty, and hot inside his sack, uncomfortable too, because he had to stay hunched up much of the time. Still, he managed to snicker when Fanifru barged into the room. "Where is that knave?" the foreman bellowed. "Goodness, Master Fanifru," Double D chided. "It's Christmas Eve day, sir, the happiest day of the year. Please don't ruin it with ill humor." Pim giggled. "What's that?" Fanifru demanded, and Pim could feel the old elf's glare through the canvas. "Santa hasn't ordered anything into the sleigh yet. What's this sack doing here?"
"Santa put it there himself," Double D explained without hesitation. "I believe it's a puppy."
"Woof," Pim confirmed. "That's the strangest sounding puppy I've ever heard," Fanifru growled. "If I didn't know better, I'd swear it was some imp pretending to be a puppy."
"You should know better than to question Santa," Double D countered tartly. "Please, Fanifru, can't you cheer up just a little? I'm sure Pim is somewhere nearby, and I'm sure he's doing what he can to make Christmas Day a resounding success. He stayed up very late last night and helped me prepare Santa's sleigh for its journey. He was very helpful."
"Bah," Fanifru grumbled, then turned and marched off.
After that, Pim did slip into a restless sleep. Whether it was the stuffy air inside his sack or his tiredness from not having slept a wink the night before, he could not say. But his eyes drooped, then dropped like curtains, and he slumbered on in his hiding place as everyone else prepared for the great send-off. It was not until Christmas Eve had actually arrived that Pim woke up. The cheering of elves and Santa's booming voice could mean only one thing. The countdown to Christmas had begun.
"Ho, ho, ho," the chief elf laughed.
"Hooray," the citizens of Borealis roared. Pim's eyes opened wide in fear and wonder. He had forgotten where he was. Then he remembered stealing a sack from the factory floor, sneaking into the sled room, clambering into the back of the sleigh and pulling the heavy canvas up over his head.
"Hooray!" the crowd shouted again.
He felt ashamed then, and a little frightened. "What am I doing?" he asked. "I should be with all the others, cheering Santa on his way, not hiding in a sack in the back of his sleigh." He would have crawled out and slunk into the crowd if he could, but there was no chance of that, for all Borealis was gathered around, and every eye in the community would have seen the shame-faced elf climb out. So Pim held shut the mouth of his sackcloth prison and prayed he would not be discovered. The sleigh rocked as Santa climbed on board, causing another tumult from the crowd. Pim imagined Santa standing there, portly and grand in a rider's box, and the reindeer stamping and huffing, eager to fly. He also thought of Double D and wondered if she was thinking of him. If only he had mustered the courage to crawl out of hiding and fess up when she prodded him with her broom handle, there might have been a chance for him to make things up. Now that he'd deceived her and Santa, well. These gloomy thoughts were interrupted by a commotion outside. "Now Santa will make his farewell speech," Pim guessed, "and I won't be in the crowd to clap and cheer."
"Borealians," Santa began, his deep, friendly voice calming the room. "My friends, for another year you have worked with good cheer and devotion so children throughout the world might have presents under their trees. In all that time, I have not heard one single complaint, except, of course, from old Fanifru, who has a special permit for complaining." A snicker rippled through the crowd, and one wiseacre shouted, "Good old Fanifru, we'd never make Christmas without him. Someone's got to be grim."
"Thank you, Fanifru, for your earnestness," Santa continued, "and thank you all for the spirit of giving, which you keep alive all year long. My job this evening is to deliver your gifts. It's a delightful task, for I'm delivering the love each and every one of you has lavished on the world, and all the world heaps praises on me for sharing your goodwill." A murmur went through the crowd.
"You work all year too, Santa," a voice protested.
"Yes," the citizens of Borealis agreed, "no one works harder.
And until this year, no one has received as much adulation for making Christmas come true.
Why, when I fly over the cities of this world, I can't look anywhere without seeing 1,000 pictures of me. I'm on billboards, in greeting cards, in magazines, and on television screens. I am in the drawings of countless children, pinned up on refrigerators throughout the world. Tell them, Whizpop, tell them what you've seen through that ioscope of yours. Pim knew Whizpop must have turned bright red, and that he was probably bobbing and bowing in the gaze of his fellow Borealians. What you say is true, sir, Whizpop reported. There's not a place you could go at this time of year without seeing an image of yourself. You see, Santa laughed. It's time others were recognized for their contributions, and it's time others got to see the world on Christmas Eve. Now the crowd positively buzzed with excitement. Nobody had ever heard a speech like this on Christmas Eve, and everyone wondered what it could possibly mean. It took some time for Santa to restore order, all the separate conversations adding up to a hubbub, which he had to quell by raising his hands for silence, an unprecedented gesture from the chief elf. Small beginnings lead to great ends, Santa resumed, and my small beginning in this direction will be to take one of you with me on this evening's trip and an elf each year hereafter. Again, Santa had to pause and hold up his hands for silence. Who will it be, Santa? Several elves shouted all at once. How will you choose? Well, Santa pondered, I chose an elf who loves to talk and has been faulted often for his flapping tongue. I wanted a companion whose excited report of what he'd seen would spread far and wide and inspire all his fellow Borealians. I like talking, Pim frowned. He might have chosen me. Santa waited patiently while the Borealians looked at one another, trying to identify the most talkative elf in the city. But such a person was nowhere to be found. When they had satisfied themselves on that point, they turned to Santa again, their babble subsiding. I had chosen an elf who is a bit of a dreamer. In fact, he has been roundly chastised for his daydreaming because there are some who do not see the value in things as insubstantial as dreams. I love to dream, Pim all but cried out. Why wouldn't you pick me? The Borealians went wild with speculation now. There seemed to be a general consensus, though, that the dreamiest daydreamer of all was not amongst them. I had chosen an elf who works in unorthodox ways and who some people get impatient with because he simply cannot do things the way they do. Adventures call for new methods, and what is seen as a flaw here would make my candidate perfect for the job at hand. I do things differently, Pim bristled, pouting at the bottom of his sack. I had chosen an elf who seems to have disappeared, Santa concluded sadly. Not him, surely, Fanifro grumped. Yes, Santa laughed. Pim Anderlafston was the very elf I had chosen. Well, if it's him you're talking about, I suggest you make Master Anderlafston a present to the Antarctians, because that's about as far away from Borealis as you can get. Even Santa laughed a little at this quip, although he gave Fanifro a stern look. Has anyone seen Pim? He asked. After some shuffling and searching, it was determined that the one known as the Naughty Elf was nowhere to be found. More than one eye turned in Fanifru's direction. Don't look at me, the foreman protested. I might have tweaked his ear if I could have found the scoundrel, but I haven't seen Pim since yesterday. At the bottom of his sack, Pim cringed miserably. He wanted more than ever to crawl out, but the thought of revealing himself was simply too much. So he shrank as far down into the bottom of the sleigh as he could. Santa would have chosen me all along, he thought wretchedly, and here I am playing a mean trick, stowing away in the back of his sleigh. Pim didn't have long to wallow in his pity, though, for the next words Santa addressed to the crowd added to his already insupportable embarrassment. Since Pim cannot be found, I'm sure he is nearby somewhere, but we haven't time to wait. I have chosen someone else to sit beside me on tonight's journey. This person I have chosen because of her dedication and love and kindness. And, Santa paused, grinning slyly, because my reindeer have made it known to me that they won't fly tonight unless I do choose her. Up front, Rudolf shook his head and pawed the floor in agreement, and all the other reindeer rattled their harnesses and jangled their bells. The person I have selected is Dabbledee Hortenfurs, Santa announced. Who? Dabble Dee asked Whiz Pop, standing next to her. The genius beamed, grasping her by the shoulders, and whooped, "You, you ninny, you're going to be the first elf ever to ride in Santa's sleigh." Then he held on to her firmly, for he was afraid Dabble Dee was going to faint. "Me?" she asked solemnly, as a huge cheer went up from the crowd. "Yes, you, my pet, you, my wonder, and I can't think of a better choice in all Borealis." Whiz Pop hugged his dear friend then, because he saw she was overwhelmed and that tears were brimming in her eyes. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm overjoyed, of course," Dabble Dee shouted. "But I just wish Pim were here," she confessed. "He really is the best choice, and I hate taking his place." Whiz Pop nodded because he understood. Then he clapped Dabble Dee on the shoulder and said, "Come on, we can't think of that now. Millions of children are waiting for Christmas morning, and we can't delay Santa a second more." With that, he hustled Dabble Dee up to the sleigh. "Here's your passenger, sir," he shouted up to Santa, who was beaming down on the two of them. "Thank you, Whiz Pop," Santa yelled over the hullabaloo as he helped Dabble Dee into the box. "Could you do a favor for me?" he asked once Dabble Dee was on board. He raised his white bushy brows and looked fondly upon the inventor, who nodded his head. "What a silly question," Santa exclaimed. "You are always doing me favors, and I never seem to have time to reward your loyalty. What is it, Santa?" "Be sure to keep your eye on us as we're departing," Santa confided. "Leave the sled room right now and go to your observatory. As you know, the ioscope will not be able to keep up with us once the sleigh breaks through the barrier into accelerated time. But in leaving, I shall go slowly, and I think you will have tremendous news to report to the good citizens of Borealis. Yes, I think you will have quite a tale to tell." Puzzled, Whiz Pop exchanged a quick glance with Santa, then said, "Yes, sir." Nor did he wait a moment. He turned and flew out of the sled room, his long legs carrying him through the toy factory and down the ice tunnel at an astounding rate. Santa straightened himself, surveying the cheery faces of Borealis. The moment had come, the moment to pronounce the words everyone eagerly awaited. He paused just long enough to get the crowd worked up to fever pitch, then cupped his mittened hands to his mouth and shouted, so the whole room echoed with the call, "Load the presents!" A deafening whoop went up, and the first bulging bags were passed hand to hand down the line, then heaved into the back of Santa's sleigh. Whump, whump, whump went the bags. "Ouch! Ouch! Ouch!" cried Pim under the growing heap.